This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, welcome to Matariki Weekend, and kia ora, welcome to Free Left Turn here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Try to make a difference.
Manawatea Matariki.
Yeah,
what a lovely day for it yesterday.
Marvellous.
Yeah, you know, I just sat in the sun, and I'd been down to the marae the day before and had the pleasure of a hangi, and so, yeah, I was feeling quite proud of myself and contented.
Yeah, we had a sort of a hangi event on Thursday at work.
Yeah.
And but there was an event to raise to raise money.
Yep.
However, the staff got their own.
Oh, nice.
So I took two lots home for Margaret and myself. Very nice.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. So nice to have a nice day, and still great for the Māori world to be able to celebrate a day of their own that we get to participate in. You know, and it was great. Yeah. Yeah, that isn't tied up so political as the as Waitangi Day, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Although people will make that. Certain people will make nasty little comments, a bit of side comments.
Yeah,
about it.
Sure, but okay. I bet you they all still took the day off.
Once they've gone away for the weekend to Smugsville.
It's a nice time of year, and especially if you get a nice day, which we got the pleasure of. Excellent. Yeah.
Nice clear day. Yeah, time for sleeping. I was for me actually. It was a hard week.
Oh, that's right. You still work, don't you? Thank you, Mick. Thank you. Mick and I would like to thank you on behalf of us pensioners
and taxpayers and stuff like that. Oh yeah.
What are you going to do for your tax cut? Mick and I are looking forward to clubbing together to get a loaf of bread.
I could extend that to a
get a loaf of bread and a cup of
coffee
and a cup of coffee.
Yes.
How the mighty live, eh?
All to be swallowed up by car registration fees going up.
$50 coming in.
So
they've cancelled one. They've cancelled something, haven't they?
Yep. They've cancelled the Auckland regional tax. They're going to, you know, the petrol tax.
Okay. Yeah. And now they've boosted the car registration.
Everyone.
So there's the old sleight of hand. Give with one hand, take the other.
Peter and Paul. They must help Mary. And so basically your tax cuts will vanish.
Cool.
Well, and as I say,
cost of living and everything else.
I was talking to a friend the other day, and that's fine there. You know how Mr. Luxon and his
cronies.
His elf, what's her name, Nicola Willis?
Gremlin.
I was going to say nymph, but it's all very well saying, your landlords will be reducing their rents, etc. This friend of mine just got a $30 increase, you know, annual increase.
It is a surprise.
He's just struggling to make get by. Any sort of tax cut, just where does that go? It won't be $30 a week, will it?
No, it won't be either. No.
Not for the guy on his own. Yeah.
But Lux and these cronies must know this. They don't care.
Well, the landlords, they don't care. Mm. It's all right for them.
And
how many of them have fessed up and said, I'm reducing my rent to my tenants?
You've been waiting a long time.
Yeah.
Hello. Is an echo in this room? Yeah.
Too hard to raise that.
Yeah. Easier to raise rents than to drop them.
We'll go to the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, the almanac.
It's not one you just.
Aren't we through it, or do you get one each year? Do you change the books?
Is that one you got from the mail order from Trump?
No. he got Stormy Daniels on mail.
I think it was a different sort of Bible.
Yeah.
Might have been a picture book.
Crayons.
I think that was largely George W. Bush's library.
Yeah.
1892.
Right.
Okay. Mm.
Workers at the Homestead Carnegie steel plant. I assume that name Carnegie doesn't exist. Nasty little so-and-so.
Most of them were. Most of them got their money from slave trade or nefarious doings.
Yeah.
Steel plant in Pennsylvania were locked out after refusing to accept new production demands. Andrew Carnegie was determined to break the Amalgamated Association of Iron and Steel Workers,
Strikebreakers?
Yeah, yeah, in which skilled workers at the plant were organised. His plant manager, Harry Clay Frick, locked out the union workers, then fired them on July the 2nd. The unskilled non-union workers then walked out in protest. Frick brought in 300 armed Pinkerton detectives.
Oh, familiar.
To break the strikes. They killed 9 strikers, but eventually a crowd of 10,000 workers, many of them armed, repelled the attack. The workers held out until November, when the governor brought an 8,000 militia to escort strike breakers into the plant. This dispute basically destroyed the union and enabled Carnegie to implement pay cuts and longer working hours.
So this is America, the land of the free,
free enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carnegie is just a big... Yeah, yeah.
But they've got big
rubber barons.
But then they get away with it by they build an opera house or a library and they call it the Carnegie.
Yes,
a bit of largesse around
philanthropic behaviour.
Yeah, that's it.
Only in certain quarters.
Yeah.
And in 1936, 100 Mexican American mine workers, including Jesus Polaris, were deported as undesirable aliens following a strike in Gallup, New Mexico. Polaris had helped organise 8,000 miners into the League of Spanish-Speaking Workers. Don't want to read that part of it. In 1935, miners in Gallup, including members of the League, went on strike. To break the strike, martial law was declared for 6 months. Hundreds of miners and their families were evicted from their homes. 2 miners were killed by police, and many others arrested, including Polaris, dozens of whom were later deported from the United States. Two events that...
Have you got anything positive in that book of yours, Craig? A victory for the workers?
No, not today.
Not
on
this day. Not on this day.
Few and far
between.
So they're kind of two events that basically say the same thing.
It's always sad, and I've said this before, to me it's always sad, you might have the big guy at the top giving the orders, but then it's just ordinary people who don't earn much more, about the same as the people that go in and crack their skulls with batons, etc.
Or shoot them dead, Which happened a lot in the United States to break strikes.
Yeah.
Not just them, like railways and...
Boxcar booth.
Everywhere.
But
more positive, Julian Assange this week.
Could only bring that up. Yep.
I mean, I never thought he'd... I think I said to you before we came on air that I never thought he'd get out of that prison outside of a pine box.
Because he wasn't well.
He isn't well, I might say now. Hopefully on the road to recovery, but...
And it's a wonderful thing from a personal basis that he gets to see his wife and he's got a couple of kids that he managed to procreate while he was incarcerated. But, you know, he'll be able to spend time and get to know them, et cetera. So that's wonderful. But the sad thing is, of course, that the deal was he had to plead to something, being guilty to endangering the safety of America, so to speak.
Well, Espionage Act, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But and people were commenting on the news that this has repercussions for free speech amongst other journalists.
Oh, let's face it, the whole thing was about intimidating. And John Pulcher, before he died, was that his name? I think I'm saying it's just the whole thing about Assange is put the warning shot to anyone else who's thinking of having a look.
Intimidation.
And it certainly worked. Let's face it, you know, there's not a lot of people that you think they'd be asking the questions, but maybe they are, but it certainly doesn't
they're
get
backing
out
off in a hurry.
Otherwise, because
the support from his colleagues in the journalist world was few and far between,
They
all backed off.
Start initially, but of course, because it went on so long, it doesn't become flavour of the month or the year anymore. I thought, and then of course they made him hire. They wouldn't let him go home on a commercial aeroplane.
They made him hire a plane, $500,000.
Yeah, so they had to lease a plane. So I think they're trying to figure out if someone will donate the.
Yeah, they've still been in the news last night that it's been a sort of give a bit. What do you call it?
Give a little sort of thing.
Yeah, it's been rallying people chipping in to help pay for them.
So a thing that shouldn't have gone on, shouldn't have gone so long, the still issue is the guy showed us a dirty side of America.
That one image in particular was
sticks and the end of the guy, you know, and that's to me still the sad thing. There's human beings that happen to be Iraqis who lost their lives. And there was no trial for them. There was no anything. They were shot down in cold blood.
They were journalists.
Weren't armed or anything else. Whether they're up to whatever, it doesn't matter. What happened to if you're the good guy giving them a trial, arresting them, and then saying, well, you're up to no good, and proving it? There was just license to light them up.
Yeah.
And then
they
cackled over it and everything else. And this goes on, obviously, a lot.
Yeah, this is just one thing. But
they've got a feel for those, because those Iraqis, no doubt, there'll be survivors. They'll have children, some of them, and wives, etc. But their lives, you know, change forever because their husbands have been killed, murdered.
Murdered in cold blood,
without a trial. Nothing.
So the US military forces aren't a moral army.
No, and that's what I think the hurt was, of course, because Assange published them, and, of course, they weren't hurt about the fact that it was immoral or they shouldn't have done it. They were hurt that they got shown up.
Yeah.
And to this day.
It still shocks me that the whole image.
And this is why people don't like America, despite what Trump said in the presidential debate the other day, that America's a laughing stock and they don't like us. That's the reason why people don't like America, is because of their actions.
And that's just... And let's face it, it goes back to that thing. We're all in a Western country and we're brought up in that, we're the good guys. You know, us Europeans, we're the good guy, everyone else is a baddie. And then you get something like that and it questions your thing, are we actually the good guys?
If
we say we're the good guys, but are we the good guys?
Do enough people stop and think about that?
Yeah.
Or just buy into this
BS. So we're told, Putin's the baddie. Well, how many pictures have they shown of Russian helicopters wiping out people? Have they hidden their ones or what? And there's probably no clean skins in the game, probably, but it certainly was an embarrassment to America, and it certainly shows you how dirty it gets.
I listened to something on a YouTube channel, which I normally listen to. It's to do with things that happened in the war. The Second World War. And this one was about US soldiers did to Japanese, particularly their bodies. We know that from the evidence-based stuff that the Japanese were quite cruel in what they had done in China and other places. But the US soldiers would mutilate the bodies of Japanese soldiers who were deceased.
Yeah.
They would remove, they'd take trophies like bits of body.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And there was one comment made about having heads on stakes.
But this is what you get, though. This is what you get. You get dehumanisation. We said what the Israelis are doing with the Palestinians. You get that in America. The Japanese were definitely dehumanised about being monkeys, and that whole Asian thing was dehumanisation. And they did it. I imagine the white Americans did it with the native populations over there. They would have dehumanised. As savages, and you still see in New Zealand some of the early scripts, they're coming in to heal to convert the savages into good Christians and all that. But the mindset was still there, dehumanisation, that we'll redeem them from their human animals, and we can save them and they can become like us.
Yeah, just a reminder, there's a documentary on Al Jazeera just recently about a British way of torture.
Okay.
And it's about Britain and Kenya.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
and they still refuse to admit that what they did to some of those Kenyans didn't constitute as genocide or torture or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the Brits were on the documentary. We were brought up to them thinking we had democracy and parliamentary vote and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Turns out it was just as bad as the Nazis in Europe or the Japs
in
Singapore,
Look at the one, what about wasn't it the Brits involved with putting some of the Indians in India over cannons and firing them?
Yeah, that's after the Sepoy mutiny,
So, there's no
such thing as a moral army.
No, at all.
No, no, no. even further on, if you'd lead from Kenya to Cyprus, it was about 5 or so years later. It was
And you get, I think, you get any in any armies that you start recruiting people that are have a part of a religion or part of a cult or whatever. And Israel's got religious sections in their IDF. You know, you're employing people that hate Arabs or whatever, and then you give them a uniform and a gun. No wonder they go a bit crazy because, you know, you're not employing the people who are neutral on it. You're employing people that have got a hatred of the other side. It's bloody dangerous.
Mentally unbalanced.
Well, they do, dodgy.
Fried brains, you know. But and that's they're not the only ones. You saw that a passionate in the German army. You had the Germans in the Second World War. Most of them were in the Wehrmacht and places like that. And then you had the SS who were adherents to the whole fascism and everything else. The black, obviously. Call it the black shirts in Italy, and but it would have been on the western side as well. Then people were, you know,
army and morals and oxymoron. They just don't go together.
No.
Armies go on the rampage, kill, rape, pillage, everything.
And the irony is, both sides have been blessed by priests and ministers and all this. You know, all sorts.
God's on our side. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, you know, and yet the commonality was Fritz and Mike. Who one was a German, one was a Brit or whatever, both farmhands had far more in common if only they'd been allowed to talk to each other. But no.
It's like you're looking at the Crusades, Mick, the first one was a big event as the armies left. In 1099 or where it was.
And
if you're part of the Crusades, you could be you could have your sins washed from you. You're doing this, doing the deeds for chosen deity.
Isn't the tragedy the Crusades are still on, still alive?
Very much so.
Western world and its attitude towards Arabs and the infidel and Muslims.
We haven't gone away. To remind the world about that. He made a faux pas of using the C word. But that mentality, that mindset is still around, and it seems to be resurging, especially with certain religious sects in America and parts of Europe.
And even our main churches and that, there's not a lot of big volume criticism coming out of our churches about what's happening in the Middle East.
I rather suspect they're quietly complicit.
Definitely.
And has that come from the old Crusades mentality? They are Muslims. They're not like us Christians, you know?
Yeah.
Where does it come from? They're not and blah, blah, blah.
We get that nonsense, What else?
The other big news, of course, is the Trump Biden. Debacle.
Fred and I lasted about 40 minutes and we just walked out.
It was the debate.
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. It was full of lies. It was poorly run by the moderators. Biden didn't seem to know where he was. He was probably a little bit on task more than Trump. Trump was as full of his
usual
not answering the questions. Neither of them answered the question.
Wasn't picked up by the
moderators. Just let him go. And Biden did the same. They just drifted off task so many times. Yeah. There are, believe it or not, I know you guys would be a bit surprised, but there are decent Americans out there.
I'm sure they are.
I know they are.
But they must have been cringe.
You wouldn't tell by that debate. You would think, is this country nuts?
Yeah.
There are decent people out there, we know that.
But this is their choice.
The lunatics are in charge.
This is their choice. And it's not Biden's fault. He's just obviously ill. He's obviously got some sort of onset problems going on of his age.
He looked very vague.
Yeah, of course he was.
Every time they panned the shot, he looked like he didn't know where he was.
There was a comment that was made that he may have a cold. That was one comment that was made.
That wouldn't have helped.
No.
But this is the most powerful country in the world, and we've got the choice of these two.
Well, I was listening to the news afterwards and general consensus, but they talked to various people across the political spectrum. They said that Trump basically took that, what you call a debate. Trump came across more...
Well, he didn't. He didn't come across like Joe Biden didn't seem to know where he was.
Only because Joe Biden didn't know where he was, and so Trump came out on top.
But he was full of mistruths. He was full of lies and
Over there, some people won't. They'll be supporters again. Yeah,
But
he's our man.
isn't this scary? Because America is they call it the most powerful country in the world, biggest economy, biggest military.
And look who's in charge.
And look at those two. That was just an embarrassment. And I just thought it was disgusting. They made up stories and they didn't tell truth, and the moderators didn't pick them up on it and go, please answer the question. They were asked some, what do I call, quite good questions.
Yes.
And that, but they didn't, the moderators asked a good question, but they didn't say, well, sorry, Mr. Trump, can you answer the question, please? Or do you not wish to answer the question? You know? So the moderates, it was obviously a pre-done deal that they weren't allowed to ask hard questions on Israel. And Biden said, you know, I was quite appalled by what he said. He said, oh, well, you know, we haven't lost any, you know, look at me, in my term, we haven't lost any American soldiers in military. It was gloating. And all our loans to Ukraine, most of that's all made in America. I mean, he's quite true. That's quite true.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But he was sort of gloating the fact there's no American body bags
coming
and
back.
And how many thousands, tens of thousands of people have been killed in Ukraine and Russia? Whether they're Ukrainian or Russian, I don't care. And the same with Palestine and Gaza and Israel. But they're sort of gloating over, well, we make the money. It was basically a naked assumption, well, but there's money in it.
Money and debt always saves the economy, but the moderators didn't press it, and it was useless.
Well, Americans don't seem to care about foreign policy at all. They spent more time talking about
abortion and immigration.
Which is their big issues.
But as you said, Mick, and it's quite true, you have migrants in, that also
keeps the system going. And they pay taxes.
And if you're not having lots of children yourselves as families, because
you need young immigrants
who can work.
Yeah.
Get it?
And pay their taxes.
Hence why New Zealand, look at us, we've brought in lots of migration because we're not replacing ourselves with mum and dad and four or five kids. That's it, you know?
Yeah, the problem with USA, they've got a history of isolationism.
Mm. Yeah.
So they tend to turn their back on foreign affairs a lot.
Yeah. They do.
We know through the history that they have.
Yeah.
Up to the lead up to their involvement in the First World War and their involvement in the Second World War, there were periods of isolation.
But the rub is, or the stupid thing is that's true. They tend to isolationists. It's nothing to do with us. But they're quite happy to sell mayhem and weaponry around the world.
We know that.
Don't seem to care how many thousands die around the world.
It's not American.
How much dysfunctional states are caused by American weaponry and influence.
But it's not American body bags coming.
No. It's nothing to do with us. But, we'll show you the latest missile because we've got to give that to our Israeli friends.
And the economy's doing better than we thought.
Yeah.
On a military footing.
Yeah.
They've said this about Russia. Yeah. It's now ahead of Germany as far as its economy because it's on a war footing.
Yeah.
The Russian industrial military complex has picked the economy up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they do most places, if you're in a dire strait, is try and find and have a war.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what America
go make. War production.
Makes money out of war production,
employment,
and energy, because of course they stifle the Russians selling energy to Europe.
Mm.
So of course the Russians are selling stuff to India, who not paying any attention to what the West wants, and of course to China. They turn their resources towards them, but America's just making money out of armaments and energy. Morals, and this is, I wouldn't even care if they said, look, we're just here, we're just naked aggression, we're here for a look after ourselves.
They're honest, but they don't.
They cover it well with the free world, and you know, the Russians are bad.
We've got true values and all that sort of stuff.
Biden said, if we don't stop Putin here in Ukraine, he'll be taking over the whole of Poland, the rest of Putin has never said that. He came in to defend, support the ethnic Russians
in Ukraine,
in the Donbass, in the eastern side of Ukraine.
He wouldn't be stupid enough to go into
And he's never said it. But the West is making out that Russia's going to keep going through if we don't stop them now, with dead Ukrainians and a few dead volunteers.
We've killed a few Russians,
so you know we're the good guys here. Just despicable. What the world desperately needs is some leadership about how to calm the whole planet. Mm. We've got this climate crisis going on. We've got populations. We've got all things that we need to work out. And what's our leadership doing? They're saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, we're not losing anyone of our people. So, let it continue. Yeah. You know, they're just...
Dr. Strangelove, eh?
Yeah.
That should be compulsory viewing.
Yeah.
That and the other movie, the original one's Failsafe.
Yeah.
Because Stanley Kubrick did the send-up of... Yeah. But yeah, it should be compulsory viewing. This is what can happen if things get out of control. Yeah.
But most of the commentators that you saw on about the debate, next etc., they didn't pick that up. They were so busy either about Trump or about Biden... Instead of saying this is an embarrassment for America, this is terrible, but they didn't go there. No. So that just shows you a bit of an inkling of how America ticks or clicks.
That shallow minded.
Well, it's narcissistic. You know, American exceptionalism is just looking inwardly.
Wrap it up and as you say, has been they've got the moral high ground.
Yeah,
they always dress it up as we're the good guys. We know what we're doing. They're the bad guys,
I just thought, what an embarrassment! And I was embarrassed, and I'm not even American.
And this would have been broadcast worldwide.
It was. Yeah, but you were talking about before we came in. You imagine trying to treat President Xi and Putin and
must
and
these others guys are lunatics.
Not able to speak, understand English, and getting that translated. How would the translator translate that debate? It was gobbledygook to us who can understand English. It would just have been the president. I can imagine President Putin going, can you recheck that? You know, it was just
awful. What does this mean?
Crazy, eh?
So what you know, and the pity is there is Robert Jr. Kennedy there.
He's another one.
Yeah, a bit more coherent apart from his voice problems. That's a health issue. And Jill Stein from the Green Party, who would have been made that whole debate a lot more sense.
Trouble with JFK Jr. is he's openly associated being with Jeffrey Weinstein and all those other guys.
He won't criticise Israel as well.
So his choice of friends leads me to think that he's just
the only real one in America will be Jill Stein from the Greens, who she's anti-war, she's anti-genocide, she's, you know, speaks a lot more sense. But of course, in America, it's very hard for them to even get on the ticket in lots of ballots.
Yeah. There's lots of people who think like her, but trouble is they end up splitting the vote. Who's the civil rights guy named the academic, the African American with white hair, King?
African American.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
King.
A professor. Academic professor.
Very
strong on civil rights and the against Israel too. I can't remember the guy's name now.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The trouble is there's lots of people up there, but it ends up splitting the vote.
Well, first past the post is a shocking and you know, it's just the whole first past the post system in America, the fact that it's not population based. Sure, Congress people it is for the Congress. But the Senate, each state gets two senators, and they pass or fail bills. So of course, small populations have got 1 or 2 million people in have just as much power in the Senate as New York. That's got
millions of people. Yeah,
but you know, you see the same in the UK. They've got antiquated voting systems that they hold up, and then they go, oh well, you know, only 50% of the population vote. But in one hand you think, well, that's terrible, only 50% vote. But the status quo quite like it. That's in the end. They don't care if Johnny, who's poor and lives in somewhere, doesn't vote.
But you think that the population themselves will say, look at this system and say, this is ridiculous. Yeah. We need a different voting system.
Yeah.
But they won't go there.
No.
I've tried talking to people in the UK and they go, no, you get the lunatic fringe. You look at Italy, and I keep saying, well, look at Germany and New Zealand.
Yeah. And look,
we're stable countries.
Yeah, and look, all our votes count. Us three in this room, we can all vote differently, but they all have to count. And it's not perfect, but it's still...
It's better.
There's no one can use the excuse, well, it doesn't matter who I vote for, it won't change. Because it may not change, but it can.
Because of the party vote.
And your vote counts, you know? But America, whole areas just don't bother if you...
No, because they're invested in the system, the status quo. They don't want the system to change because they benefit.
And what are they arguing over in America? They're not arguing over should they sell war and weaponry.
No, it's about abortions and immigration and closing borders. Yeah,
this internal stuff, that's their whole issue, even though they export to the world and control the world through military might. Mm.
Death. They
and
export death.
Death and destruction.
They export death.
They're merchants of death.
Yeah. It's awful. So, what a disgrace that debate was. And what a disgrace to the American people because...
Well, it's an insult to the American
people. An insult to the American people, and I hope they're embarrassed, and I hope they can look at themselves and go, oh, my God, is this really us? Mm. But I'm scared they won't. They won't think it like that.
We'll talk about embarrassment. I see that in the UK, just an election betting scandal focuses on senior Tories. Some insiders were betting on when election day was going to be named, including some of their protection personnel. So there seems to be no depth to the level of depravity they can sink to.
No, they're not coating themselves in glory or anything, are they?
But there doesn't seem to be any outcry. It's just them thinking. Well, 40 years ago that would have brought the government down.
But
scandals don't mean scandals anymore.
No.
It's almost like a badge of kudos. It's a badge of honour.
Suffering from a bad case of erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, that's a very good turn of phrase.
But what an embarrassment. The same thing. Go from America, go to the UK. You've
unbelievable.
Got your choice isn't really a choice because it's first past the post system. So you've got a Tory party in disarray and everyone's sick of it, and you've got a Labour party that's basically got rid of all the left-wing social policies that Corbyn had when he sort of the time before. And so you've got a choice of what? Oh, we'll go from the Tories. We're Labour, but we're not changing really anything.
They're not really Labour.
No, they won't. Will they close all the tax loopholes in the Cayman Islands and everywhere else?
They're still banging on about immigration. That seems to be the main thing over there. That's funny.
Like US.
But we said last week, the problem isn't with illegal immigration. The problem is with legal immigration.
Yeah,
but it's spun as if those people were undesirable.
That's their fault.
So what's going to happen in the UK? We just
so this time next week is going to be a soft Tory in power.
But the voting, what we should be interested in, what will the voting turnout be?
Well, we're saying
50%.
Some people aren't going to vote.
Well,
and some of them weren't just younger people. These are some of our older generation.
Yeah, they won't vote.
And you're thinking, well, how's that going to work?
Well, it does work. It works for the status quo.
It works for the status quo, but it doesn't change anything. The only way you can change anything is if you change the system. But as you say, they're not going to do it because they've got vested interest to keep status quo.
Well, it was only about 9 years ago that they asked the Brits if they wanted to change the voting system, and they rejected it.
I know.
Strongly rejected it.
The death knell was because of the terrible coalition between the Tories and the Lib Dems.
You just shake your hand. So they'll have a fresh paint on the same old hole that was the Empire.
But he's not
going to
rock the boat. It's going to be the same old, same old.
And he'll still
invest money or send support, military support to Ukraine. And
I'm sure Israel.
Britain's just selling stuff to the Israelis.
They export death as well.
It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, because Navarra media have gone through a few British electorates, particularly, and I think it's in the southeast.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be predominantly conservative seats, and people are either saying that they're going to vote maybe for Reform or Lib Dem.
Good grief, Reform!
So they're only saying that.
Yeah,
one of the people that they spoke to was a Reform candidate from a different area. He's a strange bod, but they're all strange, I suspect. And basically, they're a long time. They say they're long time Tory supporters. Nah, not going to vote for them. Not going to vote for anybody. Mm. Don't trust him. Don't trust Starmer. Don't trust anybody.
Mm.
Or there'll be those, and there were quite few ardent Labour types. I'll vote for Labour. Ardent Tory types,
Yeah, some people just keep voting. A lot of people aren't interested, so they'll just, if they're a Labour voter, they'll vote Labour, and if they're a Tory voter, they'll vote Tory, and that's about it.
I sometimes wonder about some of those polls that, when they go onto the street and talk to people. Yeah. Sometimes the people just say whatever they want to, just because they don't, didn't want to disguise how they're really going to vote anyway.
Yeah. I think this particular report person from Navarra Media tries to tie these people down. Mm. He walks up to them, who are you going to vote for, Lib Dem, or are you going to vote for this? And no, I'm not going to vote. I'm going to vote. But tell me why, and blah, blah, blah. So he tries to
pin them down.
Hey, I watched a very good thing on Double Down News. I recommend that channel that you see it on YouTube.
Yeah, too.
It's independent media. But they had Roger Waters, who's famous from
Pink Floyd.
And Andy Feinstein, who is a standing against Starmer.
In Richmond.
Richmond, yeah.
No, standing against Sooner.
No. Andy Feinstein standing against Starmer. In his electorate.
Yeah.
St. Pancras.
Yeah, St. Pancras. Yeah. So.
Hang on. St. Pancras, okay.
So he's standing in that electorate because they want to tip Starmer out of. If he loses his seat, he can't be the Prime Minister in the Labour Party.
Because there's someone standing against Rishi Sunak's seat in Richmond.
But that's not Andy Feinstein. This is the Double Down News thing. But I recommend it because Roger Waters and him, they have a half-hour conversation. And this Feinstein, he's very articulate. Roger Waters is very passionate. And he always has been. But Feinstein, he's certainly... He was in South Africa and he's a Jew, and he supported the ANC in trying to change the apartheid in South Africa. That's where he sort of got his fame from. But he's quite a tickler, and he's a professional, and he does all sorts of work. But he's recommend him, and wherever he's got a chance of tipping Starmer. The problem is, of course, people just go in and tick the Labour box.
Yeah, that's what happened.
The Tory box.
Yeah, some people would protest about how they're not going to vote or how they're going to vote, and then they come election poll day, they vote the way they always have.
And I think, and I've told you guys this before, I think what will happen in some of these areas where the independents, like Feinstein, etc., have got a chance of tipping the Labour candidate, you'll get Tory voters will actually vote Labour to keep someone like Starmer in. Because Starmer, what's going to happen if Starmer gets in and the Labour gets in? Are you under any threat of your Toryville, your Smugsville?
It'd be business as usual.
Rather than have an independent who might rock the boat, you'd be a bit like what happened here when Jacinda thought that all these people were going to voted Labour, that they'd all seen the light. No, they were just doing it to stop the Greens. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if you've got a lot of Tories will vote to have a Labour light. A Blairite type.
Yeah, that's what they're opposed to a radical independent.
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I just see it coming. I've just said that hunch.
Won't be any surprise when it happens.
No,
it won't be.
No. But recommend Double Down News. You see a lot of independent interviews and that, and it's excellent.
Yeah.
They're not struck into the mainstream media hype.
Yeah, I watched that one. I watched that episode.
Yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
You're right. Roger Waters is passionate. But as you say,
Roger Waters is a Brit, of course. He's been in America a long time.
He comes from political families. Both his parents were socialists.
Yeah,
but his father was killed in the war. And I think a better presenter is a person called Low Key.
Yeah, he does a very good job too. Yeah, and he does Double Down News stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah,
Down News, what it tends to do, it's not just one presenter, but like Democracy Now, it actually just has asked people to do a clip. Mm. Or show, and then they are the platform, the media platform for it.
Navarra does the same sort of thing.
Owen Jones does this.
Owen Jones is another one.
There's quite a few.
Yeah, they do.
The Andrew Marr show is another one that sort of does interviews left wing candidates, etc. Yeah, so there's quite a few out there, and that's the good thing about social media, of course. And before that, if you weren't on the mainstream BBC or whatever else, you didn't get a look in.
Yeah.
The bad side of social media, of course, is you get all the lots of fringe stuff as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think old Farage was put on the point. Put on the spot. I think he was interviewed by, I forget his name. He's a big, thick-set gentleman with glasses.
Not on LBC.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, he was interviewed by that. this person had rung in and he's...
He basically put
Farage on the spot because Farage said, oh, there's many streets in Oldham where people don't even speak English, sort of thing. And this person, who I think he was a rubbish collector, said, no, that's not true. They have an inkling of the language.
Let's face it, this is the empire. They made all these people British subjects, etc., and they've come back to Britain.
Too bad.
And I don't like him. But Farage was in the news just before we came on air that someone in the Reform Party made disparaging comments about, or racial comments about Sunak. And he's claiming, oh, it's all fit up and that sort of thing. But, yeah, some of those UKIP or former UKIP people are rabid...
Robinson, like that. British nationalist.
To me, the pity is they're so busy talking about this class and about race and immigration that the real issue should be about class and systems of how we operate capitalism and the whole function of how we run societies. But what do we turn it down to? The basics of race, i.e., herds and migration. That's it. And these elections are probably in America. And the UK will be fought over that.
And that kind of message is reinforced by commentators on news channels.
Yeah.
They say, this is what's... They make the claim that this is what people are talking about the most, immigration.
Yeah.
They start telling people this is
and
what you
think. And people believe it after a while.
Yeah.
And that's hence why Reform is it'll get a large vote. I don't think it'll get a lot of seats because the same thing.
I hope it doesn't get any.
It's not proportional representation.
Yeah.
So even if they get 10% of the vote... it'll be a struggle for them to win individual seats, you would think.
Good. I hope they don't get any.
In itself.
That was a prediction, wasn't it? They'll get none. But they talk about immigration and whatever else. But I think the couple of seats that Navarra Media went through, I think their main issues was around the state of the water. That came out loud and clear.
But
that seems to be missing in the whole discussion.
The running joke is that they now say they've discovered water in effluent.
As opposed
to the other way around.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
Just thinking, whoa.
Just on a little twist on that water thing, I watched some I quite like to get away from politics and the atrocities of what's happening in Gaza, etc. I often watch things about nature and water quality things in America and around the world and the UK. And there's some lovely projects in the UK because they do realise that, of course, it's the UK. You've been there, Mick. You're from there. So, there's lots of flood.
There are some sensible people there.
And there's floodplains everywhere. And they've started to get the connection because, of course, what they did in the old industrial days is, like in New Zealand, let's dig a drain straight through and we'll drain that swamp so we can put a cow or seven cows on it, of course. They're realising now that, of course, if you start reinstate some of these old river courses, etc., when it floods, of course, it's got to go over the land, which helps dilute, it absorbs filtration.
That's what swamps do.
So there's lots of works and different little individual projects done by trusts
it's just a shame it's not done on a national basis.
No, but it may be growing at that whole thing is that landowners are suddenly realizing we've lost 12 acres of land or 20 acres of land, but we don't flood as much and the town's happier, and there's a lot more gradual awareness.
Yeah, but don't look to the government to do anything about it, though.
No, and that's the danger, of course, you know.
That's the problem we've got over here, too. We're going the great leap backwards.
We were talking about, I was talking about a friend and about, where the Piariri, the new roundabout's going on the main highway, south of Cambridge. Of course, that's where the old Waikato River came through there. Went through the Hinuera Valley there at Piariri and went out to the Hauraki Plains, and then an earthquake or something happened and now the river comes through Hamilton and down out to Port Waikato. But you imagine that river there and it would have gone to the Hauraki Plains. The Hauraki Plains would have been a massive swamp.
Yep.
And a few little hills, etc. But you imagine the filtration that work when you get water at one end and goes through hundreds of acres of swamp. And it comes out the other end.
Yeah.
And how much it can absorb in floods. Well, of course, you get rid of it and you just straighten all the rivers and everything else. Where's the water got to go?
Floods.
Yeah.
Because we know that Cook, when he came to New Zealand, or the I think he sailed up one of those rivers.
The Waiho, and he talked about the wildlife. It was just amazing.
And
clear. Mm. And you could see the Waikato River. Because they used the Waikato River and the Waiho River to transport. You knew where you were going. There were sandbanks everywhere still in those times, but you could see. Yeah. So you could see if you were getting to shallow water or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do too. I tend to watch other things as well, apart from the politics stuff.
Yeah.
Because I've got a vested interest in history, and I'll follow that.
Yeah.
But there's other things I will follow too. That's which is non-political.
What else has you got in the newspapers,
Mick?
Well, just caught my eye. Kiwis are throwing away $3.2 billion in food every year.
Oh wow! Yeah,
we're still wasting food.
Staggering, eh? Yeah. Of course. Homes aren't the worst culprits, so where does the wasted food go? A vast amount of nearly 160,000 tonnes or 270 jumbo jets packed with food goes straight into landfill. I thought we were putting food into food scrap bins. So why is all this food still going into landfill?
Does it say? Or
Well, it doesn't say. Not very clear about it, because I'm sure we're not the only council who's got...
No, there's lots of them have food scrap bins.
We've all got this sort of recycling, so...
Yeah.
Biggest belief, eh? And
what was that total again?
$3.2 billion in food every year.
Gets chucked.
Gets chucked in landfill and causes a climate warm because it rots down, but...
So how much does it say how much they divert to composting, etc.?
It says, even in a nation where one in five kids face food insecurity, the average Kiwi household throws away about $1,500 worth of food away each year. France has been in New Zealand we could strip out 4% of our emissions if we stopped wasting food. And it's basically people are buying too much.
Yeah.
And some landfills cop some portion of it, but not all of it. And so many countries have already banned food waste from landfill because it's potential methane making.
So what needs to
happen? Gerard's report, the culmination of more than 2 years of work, comes with 27 recommendations to the government, which they're pretty ignore, and more than 50 large food businesses. And it's called for a national plan, target, smarter monitoring and better strategies to tackle food loss at source, so promoting food rescue and upcycling to ensure edible food isn't thrown away.
Okay.
So it hasn't been able to pin it down. It's all sorts of different factors coming into this, eh? But but staggering, eh? $3.2 billion worth of food.
Oh yeah, we tend to overbuy.
They reckon they get rid of a third of their shopping goes into the
bin. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. It's like I said before, you wouldn't throw $100 away into the waste bin.
But you're like, quite happy to
notes, but. You chuck the equivalent in food value.
Or we buy stuff, put it in the freezer if you've got a freezer, and then you forget about it, and then you look at it and think, oh, it's a bit freezer burnt. No. Yeah. You know? Out it goes.
It's either. I don't know what the problem is. It seems like a lot of people are ignorant out there and just buying.
Well, it's really a sign of our what we call probably food affluence, etc. For some, but for many, and let's be fair, for many. They still can afford to buy food and they don't have to watch what they buy, etc. So it gets, they'd be nice to have, and then they don't bother, and then it goes past the best before date, and then, I'm not going to eat any of that. And out it goes.
Yeah.
I know people like that.
The question, should change be compulsory?
Yeah.
By changing the way we... And said that while food rescue programs have been saving the equivalent of tens of millions of meals each year, our major industry players have signed up to a national pact called the Kai Committee. There aren't any legal requirements for companies to reduce waste. So regulatory measures are being explored overseas have come back with varying degrees of success. So it seems to be all attitude of the people, you know?
Individually
and as producers.
Collectively,
But staggering, eh? Just unbelievable. And there's some places in this planet where people...
Starving.
Yeah. It's always the battle is how to get the food where there's lots of food and how to get it to where people need the food.
And some food producers would rather throw it away than give that...
Well, it keeps the price up, of course.
Keeps the price up.
Yeah.
$3.2 billion.
Yeah.
That pile there makes it look staggering, eh, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Well, the food industry's worth $20 billion over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you think you look at the fish that you buy, if you can afford it, in the supermarket, etc.
I'm supposed to.
If it gets too old, you can't mince old fish.
It's
just got to get chucked.
Some of that stuff could be chewed up and
go to pig
fertilizers.
Yeah, but then it all creates chain and links, and there's got to be some profit in it, or the government, the people have to be prepared to pay for it.
It comes down to a money factor.
Yeah, look, if we can't get a ferry to link our two islands together, how are we going to get things like a decent food recycling system?
Yeah, they may have a revolution there and create the Republic of the South Island.
Mm.
And this week saw the government unleashing its targeting youth and gangs, criminal. And the kids, and there's an article written here by Kids Steal to Feed Family, this charity claims. 140,000 kids live in hardship across New Zealand, and some have been turned into drastic measures to feed themselves and their family. An Auckland-based charity has heard, and some he reports from Penrose-based charity Kindness Collective indicated many children are resorting to stealing as having to, rather. And they recognise as the 2023 New Zealand of the Year Community of the Year. Their measures aren't addressing the causes.
No. How's he getting on? How's Mr. Mitchell getting on with taking patches off gang members? I noticed that's gone really quiet.
He was in Wairoa.
Yeah.
Because of the flooding.
Did he take a few patches off while he was down there?
No, I think he was. I think he was
doing something else.
So I think he was talking to important people.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was his background? Was he a former police officer?
Yeah, he was.
Was he a police officer?
Yeah, police officer originally, and then he made money out of contracts in Iraq, I believe. Yeah.
Oh. Killing people?
Not sure he was killing people, but he
providing
was...
Providing the means.
What do they call it? They call it logistics support.
That covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
There's another article that came out, I haven't got it with me, that these boot camps don't work. There's been scientific input into the psychology and the sociology in putting these programs together, and they don't work.
Well, and they might work for the odd individual.
On a mass, yeah. which is the problem. You've got a large number of kids.
The real scary thing I have, and I've said this to you guys before, is what I don't like about the potential danger of boot camps or any sort of religious or cult-driven type of thing.
Indoctrination.
And we've seen that in Israel. The whole population's indoctrinated. Yeah.
That's the danger. You start pushing a message.
As
long as it's about law and order, okay, fine, but there's other elements get creep in.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the danger. That's why, we talk about social welfare. Now, you get wealthy people, et cetera, who want to help, but they also want to give a message as well, or they want you to believe a certain thing or whatever. It's dangerous.
Dangerous stuff, eh?
Yeah.
Do you recall a gentleman called John De Silva?
And his
youth camp on the Aotea or Great Barrier Island.
A number of years ago.
Yeah. And there was accusations of abuse in there.
Okay.
And I was talking to a colleague about that because that's what came the subject matter that rose out of boot camps.
Yeah.
And I suspect because it happened so long ago, that's part of that that inquiry into abuse of state care.
Yeah.
It comes under that. So that's a type of boot camp.
Where
people are actually abused. Yeah,
they're always dangerous. You have anyone...
There's potential. Yeah.
Potential.
I'm not saying it is going
to
happen, but
the potential is quite
there's
high.
There's potential
because
there.
Because someone there were bent towards a particular ideology, slip it in.
Yeah, and that's the fear with these charter schools and Tamaki wanting to have one.
Ideology.
Ideology, yeah.
Yes.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
The other thing about boot camps is that there'll be people coming together of a similar ilk.
Yeah.
And they will be sharing ideas.
Yeah. Which is like a prison, of course. Yeah. You go into prison and what you didn't know, you've learned while you're in there.
That's how you break the Academy for Criminals.
Oh, that's how you break into a politician's house.
Yeah.
I'll try that.
That's why I got caught last time. I won't do that again.
Yeah.
It's slightly more. The government announced a $600 million boost to Pharmac for the funding of those 26 cancer drugs.
Yeah, they found the money.
Yeah, but the money has come out from next year's budget.
Okay, so they've just...
So you were asking yourself, who will miss out? So next time around.
Okay.
So sleight of hands.
It's a popular move, though, let's face it, because I've got...
Well, they copped a bit of flak when it wasn't covered in this budget.
Even from their own supporter base. You get cancer wherever you...
And they vote.
Yeah, well, they do vote, yeah. And cancer can strike anyone, wherever you...
Regardless of
who you vote for.
Yeah.
Are they running scared on that one?
Yeah, so they've recapitulated, and John Key would have done that straight away, which said, this is not a good look.
Didn't say whether it's over for 1 year or over a time period. It doesn't mention the time period.
Yeah, no, I imagine once.
The funding boost will allow PharmAct to fund 28 other medical treatments.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have got a bit of bad press.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else has come up also was live exports. The Coalition of Idiots have reintroduced that. And there was an interesting comment in there that there are people from the National Party who are totally in disagreement with what the government's doing.
Oh, yeah. Just because someone votes for the Nats doesn't mean that they don't, you know, they have a broad church as well.
Yeah.
There's some dissension in the ranks.
Yeah, and there was somebody personally wrote a letter to Lux and said, this is not a good look.
No, it isn't a good look. Have they recovered the bodies and the carcasses of all the, we lost the ship.
Yeah,
between Japan and China.
Yeah,
that was a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but...
Did you see the size of that bloody
thing? It was huge.
Massive bloody thing.
Something like 6,000 head of cattle on it.
Yeah.
But the height of this bloody thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a castle, you know.
So it would have gone down in probably deep water.
Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah. And you'd think, okay, we'll just... We'll grow the meat here and we'll sell them the beef, you know, sell them the meat. But there's competition. And they go, well, we don't do it. The Aussies will do it or someone else. But just because someone else does it doesn't mean we should just follow suit.
But then we worship the mighty dollar.
They showed this thing that came out of South Africa, I think, about... What did they say? We have better ways of getting rid of all the dung and all that sort of stuff and da-da-da-da-da. And then this report comes out of South Africa of a... animals covered in crap.
Oh, yeah. And how much of it goes into the sea?
They'll flush the ship out.
They've got to feed them, so they've got to be fed, and they've got that. So that's all the other out
the... So it ends up in the sea.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So it's not perfect at all.
No.
It's imperfect, yeah.
And the other one I got was health hiring freeze hits front line. This is despite rain... was it the National Guy for Health, Shane Metty?
Yeah.
He's denying that there's any freezing on recruiting of medical staff, personnel, and the actual effect is there is a cap on people being recruited.
Can I just widen it a little bit? Isn't it interesting? There's been a bit of a furore about we've been training nurses here to be nurses.
That's what links up with this.
Yeah. And of course... What they won't come out with, but of course we've had masses of immigration, and a lot of people, if you're a nurse and you've come from India or Sri Lanka or lots of countries in the world, you know, the doors have been opened because we need nurses, but there's been obviously not much talking.
No connection between training our own and recruiting overseas.
Yeah, between the health system and the immigration system to say how many nurses are you training this year? So we've let in 5,000 nurses.
And someone has seriously...
Well, they haven't talked to each other.
Yeah, that's moronic. So there's more than one. There must be two people who must be very red-faced because they weren't talking to each other. You think this
isn't that an embarrassment that you've...
You weren't coordinated enough to work out, we're training X number and we're recruiting overseas X number. Are we overlapping?
How many vacancies are there?
Are we overlapping? We are too heavy in one or the other.
Yeah.
Talk about embarrassing, though, right? I mean,
but they won't talk about it much.
Eggs in the faces of Retty and Stanford, if I sound a bit.
Yes, the Herald had heard reports around the country that clinical positions not being filled and we were doing for time.
Just finish it off what you're reading.
Yeah, just saying that it hasn't kept up, that despite his claims that there's no freeze on recruitment, in actuality there is because...
Yeah,
it's only
we're out of here.
See you next month.
See you next month.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.